May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake and fear when they before him must appear? 666.
Thank you.
help us to read two portions. Firstly, Matthew chapter 25, and then a few verses from Revelation chapter 3. Matthew chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. And now Revelation chapter 3, commencing at verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, commencing 14 to the end of the chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord bless his word and help David in prayer.
A spirit of true humility, that we may not stand before thee in our own strength. O, plead with thee that thou wilt grant thy Spirit, that thou wilt come and dwell in our hearts and grant us freedom of access at the throne of grace. Lord, that we may not come in our own merit, but pleading the name of Jesus. Lord, that we may cling to him as our hope, that he is our mediator, that thou dost look upon the one who suffered, bled and died, in whom thou art well pleased, and that our prayers may be made acceptable in him. O Lord, hast thou made us to know that we are wretched and blind and miserable, poor, guilty sinners, that in ourselves we have no hope, that our hope is alone in the Saviour. Lord, do in mercy remember us each one that have gathered in thy house this day. We pray that thou wilt give us a new heart and a new spirit, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, and that feeling well our guilty state, we may hasten to the Saviour. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. We pray that thou wilt touch each heart here, if it might be thy holy will, and grant us each a true spirit of prayer, to look to Jesus, kind and strong, mercy joined with power. Oh, that we might find in him is our hope, and Lord, that we might hear thy voice, and know that thou art our Saviour. Thou didst say, when here upon earth thou wilt say to those that are not thy own, depart, I never knew you. But Lord, what wilt thou say to us? Wilt thou say to us also, I never knew you? We have read that most solemn portion, Lord. Shall we be found in that last great and awful day, without oil in our lamps, having shone while here below with an outward profession, but not having the Spirit of God in our hearts? Oh, do cause us each one to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or no. How shall we stand in that great and awful day, when thou wilt call us from time into eternity, to stand at the bar of thy judgment? Lord Jesus, wilt thou remember us then? Wilt thou remember that thou didst speak to our hearts, that thou didst love us with an everlasting love? Wilt thou remember that thou didst hang and suffer, bleed and die at Calvary for our sins, that thou didst carry our names upon thy breast, that our names are graven upon the palms of thy hands. Wilt thou remember, Lord Jesus, that while here upon earth, thou didst come to the very worst of sinners, that thou didst call them by thy grace, that thou didst not remember against them their former iniquities, that thou didst pronounce the blessing upon their souls, that their sins were forgiven, that thou hadst healed them, body and soul. Lord, wilt thou remember us likewise? Oh, we pray that thou wilt come and shine into our hearts, that we may know thy love which passes knowledge, that thou hast remembered wretches, vile sinners, that cannot keep from evil. Oh, we pray to know this great blessing even this day, that thou wilt speak and revive our souls and cause us to live before thee. We thank thee, for Lord, for all thy mercies toward us in providence, all those things that thou hast done for us in this life hitherto, and that thou hast spared us each one to meet together. But oh, we long for this one thing needful, life eternal, given from above through thy free grace. We pray that thou wilt touch hearts, that we may be melted down at a sense of thy goodness, that thou wilt break hard hearts, and that thou wilt cause us to come with weeping and with supplications, seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. O Lord, remember each soul here. We pray for the little ones, that thou wilt begin with them in their early years, if it might be thy good pleasure, and that not one might be left out of the secret. And we pray also for those who have not gathered with us this morning, that thou wilt remember them where they are, those that are in sickness, that thou wilt heal them in body and heal them in soul. And Lord, those that are away from us, that they may hear the gospel word where they are. And those who have no desire to come into this place, that thou wilt quicken their souls and give them a desire, that they may seek after thee, if haply they may find thee. Lord, do help us to plead with thee now. Send down thy Spirit. Give us a true, urgent cry, that thou wilt save us or we die, and that thou wilt remember others, and that for the glory of thy holy name, this house of prayer might be filled with praying souls, that it might be that we bow at thy feet and own thee, the sovereign Lord of all. But, O Lord, have mercy. We have been solemnly reminded, Lord, so recently, that our life is but a vapour, and soon it will be cut off, and none of us can say how soon it will be, nor which one of us will be first. We do not know whether we shall see the end of this day. But, oh, in mercy, before we leave this place, wilt thou show us a token for good, that thou hast put our names in the covenant of everlasting life, that thou hast not left our souls cast out to die in our sins as we deserve, but that thou didst look in love upon us and save us by thy blood. O Lord, do work this great work, we pray. There is no work like it. Only thou canst do it. Nothing can compare to it. Lord, remember us for good. We pray for thy blessing upon the preached word, that which our brother shall read to us this morning. We would earnestly pray, Lord, fasten it in our hearts. Do not pass us by. The matters of eternity are too great. It must be everlasting peace or everlasting misery. There is nothing between. Oh, in mercy, Lord, look upon us. Do quicken our souls. Do, in mercy, remember each one here. And Lord, we feel as though we are repeating the same things in other words, but the matter is so great. Leave not our souls destitute of mercy, we pray. Oh, that thy Spirit might come, that he might enter into our breasts and grant us new desires, new affections, a new love to thee, such as we did not have before, and that we may by faith say, my Lord and my God. We do pray, Lord, for those that mourn. One has been taken home recently. Oh, we thank thee, Lord, for the wonders of thy grace and what thou hast done in one who would profess to be so unworthy of it. And we pray that this great and mighty work of grace may be repeated many times if thy holy will. We do pray for those who mourn the loss of Sue Cooper, that thou wilt uphold them by thy grace. But more than this, Lord, we pray that thou wilt sanctify this great thing in the hearts of many, that they may be caused to consider, how shall I do in that great and awful day of death? We also think, Lord, of the widow of thy dear servant, who was originally engaged to be here today. We pray that thou wilt be with her, and that she may know upholding grace, that thou wilt comfort her heart. And Lord, we pray for each one that mourns, that they too may remember that their end also draweth nigh. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt help our brother now to read the sermon to us. Do bless him in his own soul. Do make that which has been preached before a blessing in our souls. Oh, we pray that Zion may know better days, if it might be thy holy will, when the word of the Lord may run, have free course, and be glorified. Lord, thy word is not bound, we have heard it. But oh, what about our hard hearts that do not receive thy word? Do in mercy touch us. Do break down the barriers. Do cause us to return with melting hearts and weeping eyes, crying unto thee for mercy. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with us now. Lord, we pray also for thy servant that we hope to hear this evening, that thou wilt come with him, Bless thy word to us. We pray also for Zion. Lord, what can we say? Thou art grieved. Thy spirit is in large measure departed from us. We feel it in our own hearts. Arise, arise, O God of might, and put the hosts of hell to flight, and may it be known that there is a God in Israel, that there is a God in heaven, that he ruleth over all. May it be known that thou, the sovereign Lord of all, will hold the wicked in derision, and return and do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, and build the walls of Jerusalem. We pray for our nation, as thou hast bid us pray for those that rule over us. Lord, we pray, if it might please thee, that there may yet be better days. It's impossible in our minds, but with thee there are no impossibilities. But we solemnly feel that we are in the last times. That time of great tribulation is coming upon us. And shall we stand? And shall there be faith found in the earth when thou shalt come? O Lord, help us now. We pray for upholding grace. We pray for thy spirit. And we pray that we may not be left to deny our Lord. Pardon, Lord, what we ask amiss now. Do help us to bless thee for every favour that we have enjoyed. And especially, Lord, the blessings of thy love. Those things that thou hast let down into our hearts. Those things which our hopes look back to see and hope that, Lord, thou wast in it, that thou didst bless us there, and that thou hast eternal thoughts of love to our souls. Pardon every sin. Receive us graciously as we plead the blood sprinkled for sinners, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1063. Nothing know we of the season, when the world shall pass away, but we know the saints have reason to expect a glorious day, when the Saviour will return and his people cease to mourn. 1063.
Thank you.
preach you a sermon preached by Mr. Frank Godston, and you will find the text in the second portion we read, Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Revelation 3, verses 20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The importance and solemnity, the beauty and the blessedness of these seven letters can never be exaggerated. And they seem to increase in importance as more perilous days are with us. We may have letters, doubtless most of us have letters of those whom we have loved who are gone. And when we read them over, our hearts ache. Their voices we shall never hear again. But these are letters of him who liveth and was dead. And behold, he is alive for evermore. They contain the ever-living word of the ever-living God. We often mourn over and have cause for mourning as we view the condition in the churches generally, and sometimes may remark as to what really is wrong among us. Well, if we read these seven letters, it will show us exactly where we are wrong and how we may be put right. Not only is this true of the churches, but also with respect to our individual experience, our individual cases. And I could commend it to you and to myself to read these seven letters, looking upon our own cases, with our eyes up unto the Lord, for doubtless both the visible church of God and individual people of God are at times in the conditions that these letters bring before us. I feel it to be so. Those false errors in experience and the many things that are charged upon the churches, I find in my own experience. You cannot take one letter as belonging to one church exclusively and preeminently, any more than you can isolate any one particular character that is set before us in the Word of God for our instruction and apply it to another, as for instance Mary and Martha. Where there is a real Martha, and the Lord loved her, there is a good deal of Mary in that Martha. And you will find on occasions there is a good deal of Martha in Mary. And we do need the Word of God to be personally applied to us. A good thing to be exercised in the Scriptures from day to day. The chapter that we read, Matthew 25, is very solemn. We are apt to read the Scripture as though it is a book written some thousands of years ago, and look at it as it were from a distance and detached from our own case. That is a very serious thing if it continues. And it brings to my mind an important point. That is, beware of a detached religion. If you read the Scriptures in a detached way, there will be no communications to your soul of the truth. If you hear the gospel in a detached way, you will receive no benefit from it. It is contact that we need, and contact means union, and nothing less and nothing different from vital union with Christ is sufficient. Everything could be correct. The lighting system of this chapel may be in perfect order, but if it is not connected with the power station, there will be no light. And that is what was really the matter with these foolish virgins. They had got everything but divine grace. They had no union with Christ, and therefore never derived oil, virtue, from the living root. Well, the particular letter that we have in our poor way been trying to speak about is to the Laodiceans. I wish I did not understand it, but I do. Lukewarmness. And another thought comes into the mind. Sometimes you have yourselves and have heard other people express their desire to know their interest in Christ. Well, I thought this afternoon, one indubitable test as to whether we have an interest in Christ is to examine ourselves according to the standard of the Scriptures and see whether Christ has any interest in us. How are we going to know it? You're going to know it one way in reading these letters. With regard to this particular church, his interest was shown in a way of reproof and rebuke and chastening. His love was manifested in that sense. The Lord would never trouble to reprove, to rebuke, to correct, to chasten any but those he loves. And if you can trace in any of your afflictions and chastenings and solemn reproofs that the Lord is dealing with you in your soul, it is an evidence that you have an interest in him. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why, it almost makes you long for the Lord to rebuke and chasten you. Well, I can say this, far better than for him to leave you alone. I think we observed on Lord's Day that one of the most serious judgments is let him alone. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, exhorts to exactly the opposite condition from that in which he found the church. Zeal, the very opposite to sloth and lukewarmness. I think we concluded by speaking of that zeal and how the Lord in the spirit of prophecy said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." The disciples remembered that prophecy when the Lord drove out the buyers and sellers from the temple. It would be a great thing if that zeal returned to the churches generally, so that there would be a turning out of everything that is offensive to God. But also in our individual religion, the zeal of thine house hath eaten up everything else, every other consideration. I will leave that point just referring to this example in Solomon's song. There was the inquiry, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth," not where I can get more money, or find more pleasure, attain to greater honour, but "the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Tell me where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." Be zealous, they shall ask their way to Zion. Men of the world are asking their way to everywhere but Zion. Crowds of them to all kinds of pleasure and vanity. What a mercy if God has made us to differ, so that we have wended our way, a few, a handful, a little remnant compared with the thousands in this town, asking our way to Zion with our faces, that is our eyes, our mouths, our ears, thitherward. Be zealous and repent, not despair. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord to this people. The wise virgins slept. Oh, but they were awakened and found oil in their lamps and were ready when the bridegroom came. But you would not have discerned the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins until the end came. As I view it, their lamps were exactly the same model, no difference at all, came from the same factory. You may attend the same ministry, hear the same truth. They all had wicks, but when those that had no oil lighted the wick, it went out. They all slumbered and slept. You won't take it for granted and say, but I am one of the wise virgins. Oh, how good it is to have the soul exercised before God, so as to bring you in secret to the throne of grace from day to day, and to know more of a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord. He reproves this church. But let us leave Laodicea alone now. It is written for us also. And the Lord tells them where they are. You have become independent of me, have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, a bottomless fountain, the fullness of the Godhead in Christ Jesus bodily, the fountain of light, of life, of grace, of truth, of mercy, of power, of heavenly authority, of unsearchable riches, of eternal glory. You have forsaken me and hewed out to yourselves cisterns, wretched, broken cisterns, and tried to fill them. They could hold no water. But he does not leave them there. He would be just if he did. Have you ever felt that? When he has afresh given you to feel what you are, if you turn from him. I believe I feel what I am talking about. The Lord has most distinctly and solemnly made me to know that if I depart from him, if I could be separated from him, my condition would be just this: wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked and dead. I know it. Oh, but he says to this church, I counsel you that in me is all that you can possibly need to make you rich, to make you holy, to sanctify you, to make you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. I counsel thee to come to me. But we must come to the text. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here is another matchless act of condescension in the Lord to take this attitude. He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of all that is, coming to a church, coming to an individual sinner, and standing at the door of his heart and knocking. Not because he is helpless, not because he is dependent upon the will of the creature to open his heart, not at all. But this is his method. We have exactly the same thing in Solomon's song. There was the sleepy spouse upon a bed of carnal ease, and the Lord knocked. But she made objections. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? But he knocked again, and left a little of his savour upon the handle of the lock, and she arose to open to her beloved, but he had gone. Ah, what things are inside the house! This is the figure. He comes to a certain address, to a certain person, and it would seem that his locks were wet with the dew of the night. Whole nights he spent in prayer upon the mountains. And what did he pray for when here upon earth? His people. And I can say this solemnly, sacredly, if you are his, those prayers were on your behalf. For the Lord Jesus did nothing, said nothing, and prayed for nobody but his people, his church. Then he comes and knocks at the door. You might almost visualize it. He went round the house, and when he could not obtain any answer, he looked in the windows and saw the vanity that was going on. He comes back to the door and knocks again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He not only could have opened the door, but he could have gone in without opening anything at all, as he did in the case of the disciples, when he showed himself unto more than 500 brethren at once. It is said of him that the Lord Jesus appeared unto them, the doors being shut. He has no need to open doors. Oh, if we did but believe in this blessed person, in his omnipotence, in his divinity, and in his sacred, sinless humanity. I stand at the door and knock. Well, let us try and speak of one or two ways in which he knocks. The most solemn knocking is at the conscience. Moses in the 90th Psalm says, Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. And they look very, very solemn. We may have our sins set before us according to our own judgment of them, or in the light of other people's opinion of them. But when they are set before us in the light of his solemn countenance, he who is holy, 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 it is very solemn. There are two conditions of conscience which are good, and one which appears good but is bad. A troubled conscience under the conviction of sin is a good conscience. A conscience that is at rest and peace through an application of the precious blood of Christ is a good conscience. But a quiet conscience may be very bad. We do well to distinguish between a quiet conscience and a peaceful conscience. You may depend upon it that David had a quiet conscience. It's a mystery how this was possible after he had committed adultery and been the cause of a murder, and yet it seems that until Nathan was sent to him, his conscience was quiet. And what quieted his conscience doubtless was this, that everybody thought Uriah was killed in the battle, and therefore they knew nothing about it, and therefore his marriage was quite lawful. But when Nathan came with that parable and said unto him, Thou art the man, what a knocking it was at his conscience. Oh, what a flood of iniquity filled his conscience and filled him with distress. That is one knocking. Has the Lord ever knocked at your conscience in the night? I know this part of it. I have known what it is in the night season to have had a most peculiar and solemn conviction of sin, like a resurrection of sin. It is a most blessed thing to have the power of Christ's resurrection in your heart. But when you experience a resurrection of sin and call your words and actions are, and see them exactly as they are, it is wholesome. And also, when the Lord opens your ears to discipline and knocks at your conscience. But I have found this, that the Lord has given me, in much mercy, power to confess what he has discovered to me. And I have asked him to continue that solemn conflict and conviction in my conscience until it is purged. When he knocks, you won't want to forget sin or to excuse it. You will want him to purge it, to blot it out as a thick cloud. I remember some years ago near Wellingborough, driving along the road and those iron furnaces were belching out smoke. And that scripture came to my mind, blot out my sins. And I said, Lord, my sins will be the thickest cloud out of the chimney. As the smoke out of the chimney takes a certain form, so your sins will take your form. My sins, you will say, it has been my sins. But it will make Christ precious with the Father who sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, the completeness of it. And remember this, that when he thus sent him, he sent him in the likeness of the form of each individual sins, the likeness of your sins. There is nothing haphazard in salvation. The more you consider it, the more wonderful it is. The Lord Jesus did not suffer for one sin more than shall be committed by his church. He did not suffer for all sins and leave one out. The perfection of Christ in the perfection of salvation is indeed incomprehensible to us. If it were not so, we should all be at an uncertainty. And as one who shall not be left behind, so there is not one sin that will not be purged. And sometimes the Lord will knock on your body. Very solemn, that is. We have an example of that in Hezekiah. I consider that the Lord knocked very loudly at the heart of Hezekiah when he sent him that message, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." I venture to say that would knock pretty hardly at our hearts if we received that sentence. But virtually, we have received it. We have. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. But what a mercy it is to hear it. And you will notice, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, not if any man open the door, but hear my voice and open the door. Plenty of people have trouble, go into hospital. They hear the knocking, but not his voice. Do you? Has he knocked on your hearts in bringing you, unexpectedly it may be, into affliction, and you have said, now that is the voice of the Lord? The church to which we have referred said, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. That would be exceedingly sweet if he gave you to feel that his solemn knockings upon your body were knockings of his divine love. Sometimes he knocks very loudly in his providence, in our circumstances. I can remember some of these knocks, especially in the days of my adversity. Ah, things may go a little better with you, and you will think to yourself, there is nothing succeeds like success. The tide is turned. We shall manage. I will have a little better house now, a little better furniture now, a little bigger car now. But if the Lord comes along and knocks at your door and says in substance, ye are not your own, and brings you into adversity. Oh, I remember the time when I thought the tide had turned. And whereas before I was exercised and had some sweet meditation among the tombs as I went around the country, some sacred meditation upon eternity and eternal glory, but oh, when it appeared like a little prosperity, then we went by the cemeteries, our minds were filled with what we were going to do. But the Lord put his hand upon it all. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Sometimes it is by adversity which takes the bottom out of your things, makes holes in the bags in which you put your wages. Oh, it is sweet to hear his voice in adversity. It is indeed, because you will trace his love. Oh, how I knew more then of sacred intimacy with the Lord in those days than I have done since. Yes, some of the hymns were living then. I remember this one when the Lord was knocking and I felt there was nothing before me but ruin. Poor and afflicted, Lord, as I, among the great unfit to shine, but though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange, and you would not. Why, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. And he chose the church here what she could buy. Why, if you could possess the world, it would never bring you out of the 17th verse. But if you see what there is in the 18th verse, you would be glad enough to get out of the 17th. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, another knocking is in the nation. We've had some solemn knockings in the nation, and we are in perilous times now. Not only dangers of terrible conflicts, but of popery and communism and atheism. Let us take an example of this knocking. Take, for instance, Habakkuk. He complained to the Lord about the Chaldeans, that terrible nation. But the Lord showed Habakkuk there were worse things to come, reproved him for his complaining, and he brought him to this. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? It brought him to this. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I am sure he will reprove me. There are things wrong in which he will correct me. Then he goes on to say, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known. In wrath remember mercy. He heard the knocking of God in the nation. And what a mercy it would be if we were among those who truly sigh and cry for the abomination done in the land. If any man hear my voice, open the door, open his heart. Can the Lord open it? Yes, he did in Solomon's song, and put in his hand by the hole of the door. The door was not locked. She had not slept the sleep of death. I sleep, but my heart waketh. The door was ajar. The Lord put his hand in by the hole of the door. Oh, how kind of him. If any man open the door, if you found that influence on your spirit when the Lord has corrected you, it may be when he has brought you low in body or in adversity in your circumstances, that it has been so sanctified to you that you have gone to him and said, Lord, here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it from thy courts above. There is a line that I often quote because of these days, and this is just opening the door. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. Ah, you won't say that when the world is in your heart and turned aside to vain jangling and vanities and things that do not profit. Oh, but when the Lord has knocked and knocked and comes and says that wonderful word that was said to the Corinthians, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? But that word, what? As though the Lord was taken by surprise. What? Find you here? What? Entangled with these trifles? What? Indulging in that worldliness? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Have you ever asked him to come? You will when he knocks. He shows this church what he was, his fullness, his sufficiency, his grace. the gospel. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. What a beautiful letter this is. See how it commences. See the reproof, the rebuke. There is nothing that will break your heart like this. This is the south wind. Awake, O north wind, it will never do you good. Freeze that man, his business, touch his health, his family. You look at Eli when Samuel went to him and knocked at his door, when the Lord sent young Samuel to Eli to tell him of his sin with respect to his family. But Eli was a godly man. He heard his voice and said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." He opened his heart, opened the door. Have you ever done that when everything else has been taken out of your hands? I see the time is gone, but this is a blessed letter, and they all are, my friends. If you think there is something wrong with you, read these letters and ask the Lord to deal with you as he did with these churches. I need it greatly. I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. That is to say, he will restore secret communion. You may fear he will never smile again, but he says he will. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for the Philippines through Samaritan's Purse amounted to £2,700, for which we are very thankful. And on Friday evening, the collections for the Trinitarian Bible Society amounted to £1,350, for which we are also very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach this evening, Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Tim Parrish next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And we have a special collection next Lord's Day for the Fizzy Orphanage of the Free Grace Evangelistic Association. And just to let any friends know who haven't heard, that the funeral of the late Sue Cooper will be held here, God willing, on Friday at 12 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the Church's living head? Hymn 698.
Thank you. that we have heard. Now do save us from the detachment. Now do grant us those ears to hear, now those eyes to see. Lord, do grant us real repentance. Oh, help us to fall before confessing us. Oh, do remove us now as we part. Oh, gather the children this afternoon. Do help us as we part. Lord, may we suffer down to thy honor and glory. Come out, my servant, expecting the sea. Lord, do give him that to bring before us. Oh, may you be thy messenger to mind with thyness. Lord, do bless us in thy house this an empty, soundless night. Oh, Lord, do be with us as we part. Lord, do help thy servants expecting, Lord, in coming back. We pray that thou wilt gather, Lord, here on the Friday in heaven. Oh, Lord, do draw near to the faith. Do help the dear parents. And Lord, do help the pastor. Oh, give him that to stay. Lord, doubtless many will come in this building for the first time. Oh, may thy word go forth. Lord, do touch his lips with a life. Oh, the word of God is not. Oh, may it have enough. Oh, Lord, do grant my help. Do with us.